This is a production of Cornell University.
EA meeting, April 21st, 2010.
I call on this meeting to order. This is the employee assembly meeting for Wednesday, April 21st, 2010, in 316 Day Hall. It is 12:17 p.m. Do the roll call. David Brooks.
Here.
Pempa Dunto.
Here.
I'll just go to first names. Tanya.
Here.
Linda. Ned has said that he is out today. Leon. Alan.
Here.
Leslie is on vacation. Gemma.
Here.
Tim.
Here.
Seeley. Jason Seymour present. Gary Stewart. Beth McKinney said that she cannot make it today. Ben.
Here.
He's here. And from the Office of Assemblies, we have Ari and Peggy. Or, I'm sorry, Amy.
I got a promotion.
Okay, and as people enter, I'll announce them and add, check them off. Are there any late additions to the agenda? Moving on to business of the day. We don't have any scheduled business of the day. Report from the employee elected trustee. Beth has emailed me saying she would be out of this meeting today and that she has no report at this time. Report from UA representative.
Maybe when Leon gets here.
Okay. Report from the GPSA.
We had our final meeting on Monday of this week, and we elected our new officers and passed a resolution that established a GPSA sustainability committee, but apparently there's some questions about the parliamentary procedure on that at the moment, so I don't know what its status really is, but mostly we're all excited to take a break for summer and start anew in the fall.
Great. Thank you. Seeley has just joined us. Welcome. Report from the faculty senate liaison.
Yes, so I owe you a report from the March meeting at which two major items were discussed. There was a report from the library board regarding changes that are anticipated in our library system, including changes necessitated by the renovations to Olin Library. And then there was the hotly debated child care center resolution, which many of you have probably read about, and which has led to some publicity and some action by Lynette Chappelle Williams, whose office sort of supervises the Bright Horizon company that runs the child care center. Now, there was a small report by the Reaccreditation and Assessment Committee. And Cornell is undergoing its periodic reaccreditation. I think we had a presentation on that. And it was simply a procedural matter. And that was it. I'll give you a report on the April meeting the next time.
All right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yep. So what's in the resolution regarding the child care center?
Well, the faculty resolution sought to basically obtain additional control, input, influence into the operations of the child care center, which has been a long-standing issue as to how much the community / faculty who have interest, mm-hmm. children there or otherwise, should be involved. And so the effort, I think, is to raise outside involvement, outside to the Bright Horizons people. There's always been a standing committee that advised. So the question is the degree to express their concern about the violations that were disclosed and to try to take more of a role in the addressing of those concerns.
Would it be like probably a lot more expensive if it was just staffed by Cornell employees as opposed to an outside vendor?
Well, the vendor, Bright Horizons, which is was founded by a Cornell alum and is a worldwide operation, has a sterling reputation. I was involved a little bit in the hiring of them to run it. It was clear that Cornell did not have the staffing to run it on its own, so we had to go to some outside vendor. But the people within it, that staff, are all local. They don't really bring in a team, you know, and from some place and then staff it.
I know, like, even they had issues with, like, there's nowhere for them to park and they can't bring their own kids. I mean,
well, the parking has been resolved, partially as a result of this whole focus. So they are now being provided parking. I don't know about the own kid issue. That I do not know anything about. But one of the major concerns was the turnover. I think they have a problem keeping staff there from the local community. So that's, I think, a big focus of how to try to make the position less subject to turnover. And they're all local people who are staffing. You know, it got off to a very accelerated start. Bright Horizons had reported that they only expected some percentage of the slots to be filled year one, and then it would be more, and then it might be 3 years for 100%. And as we all know, it went 100% plus waiting list, which is what I think the next group told us. Well, that may be your experience some places, but and so it really overwhelmed them right at the beginning to staff up for that, given their prior, and they run hundreds of facilities, so it's not like they get at this. There is a certain pattern which this did not fall into, as I understand.
Any other questions for Alan on the Faculty Senate? Moving on to money matters, EA finance.
There's no new finance report, but I will propose that maybe at the next meeting we reserve some time to discuss the last year's budget and take a look at next year's. I did like to have something in place for the 10-11 year before, you know, the fall or something. So we might begin a discussion about next year's budget with a brief look back at this year's.
That sounds doable, since we don't have a guest scheduled for next meeting.
Good.
Do you want to just add that to business of the day for the next meeting?
All right. Report from the chair. Two weeks ago, presented the George Peter Award for Staff Excellence to
Liz Colucci.
Liz Colucci and the in Willard Strait. That was a pretty nice event.
In the
Paul
print,
too. Yes, in the Paul print. Trying to think. We've got Alan Bishop from Human Resources and Mary Opperman scheduled for June 2nd. That is the first meeting of the new EA term. That meeting also is supposed to be election of officers and the organizational meeting, but that was the first time slot that it would work with Alan and Mary's schedules. So we went ahead and scheduled that.
Is there a specific agenda for that they're going to present on? Or?
Alan was going to talk about the whole layoff process and the benefits and the support that it is given to a person in layoff, to really brief the EA fully to understand what that process is about.
Okay.
I think that's all that I have. Any questions for me?
You're running again.
Running again for what?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Did you not vote?
Did you not vote?
Oh, I didn't vote. Ah.
It's in my email.
Did you get it? All right, let's take a look at our April 7th minutes. I just have one potential correction. And I believe Seeley may have to help me out here. Under Business of the day, C, athletics resolution, passed by 710. I believe it usually would go in favor, not in favor, abstain. And Seeley, do you recall abstaining?
I abstain, yes.
So it should read 701, if I'm correct in the...
Wrong, sorry.
Is that...
I would think so.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
So just we just got our numbers.
Yep. So just to be clear, in business of the day, the athletics resolution, it passed by a hand vote of 701, meaning 7-4, 0 against, 1 abstaining. If anyone else has any corrections, let it be known. Otherwise, we'll take a few more, or a minute or so here more, and then I'll entertain a motion. And Linda has joined us. Welcome.
Sorry about that.
Is there a motion?
Make a motion to approve the minutes with the change.
Second that.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor of approving the minutes as amended, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Abstain? Thank you. April 7th meeting minutes have been approved. Moving on to committee reports. Executive Committee?
The Executive Committee hasn't met in weeks because of conflicting schedules, but there's been quite a few emails flying around between all of us. I think most of them had to do with the award for the Athletics Department, but I can go over that under Communications.
Okay. I need to talk about the EA News and Communications as well.
The letter that just came out?
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's move right on into. Let's move into Communications next. Go ahead.
Okay. So, yesterday morning, Gary and I went over to the athletics department and went into what is his name?
Andy Noel's
office. Yeah, really nice guy. He was having a meeting. I think they were actually in the process of interviewing a new coach for basketball. We weren't there very long, but Gary kind of made a little introduction, and then I read the resolution to them, and it was really nice. It was pretty short and sweet, but the director said that in his 30 years here, it's never been done. He's never been recognized. So he was really appreciative, and I think he really liked it. I said, well, hopefully we can do it again next. They're pretty excited.
Put the pressure
on them. Yeah.
Never recognized by the EA.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Never been recognized by the EA. So I think he was pretty excited. And it looked beautiful. The rain was gorgeous. It was written up really nice. So thank you, everybody, for putting it together and voting on it. And it went really well.
Okay.
So the newsletter,
mm-hmm.
which I received, I think it looked great. Mm-hmm. Is there something in particular you wanted to talk about?
No, just that the second edition of the EA News went out.
due to some time-sensitive announcements in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe Gary changed it from quarterly to periodic. So that way, if it comes out early, you know, don't have to worry about it. But so hopefully you've all received that in your email. If you have not, let us know, let Ari know, so that we can figure out if something went wrong.
Is there any way to have people respond to see that they've read it, they've received it? Is there any value in that?
I think that would be a technological nightmare for the...
Does it go out on lyrics list, or is it just... You send it, right, Ari? Does it go out like on a lyrics list that we get an open return rate, or...
We get a bounce rate, but the bounce is negligible. Right, maybe not that broad an idea, but would there be any value in having some sort of a response thing? Like, if you're interested in responding to us via email.
Well, we do have the email at the bottom, and if they just hit reply, it does go to David and I in the assembly's office.
Right.
And there was one reply from a woman who thanked us for our involvement with the caring community and staff awareness and caring, and she shared a personal story of her own depression and how it affected her in the workplace, and was really thanking the EA for having that presence and would like us to encourage more types of things that we can do to show the caring community at Cornell for employees.
So is that something that could be distributed to us, that response, or it's meant to be a personal?
Well, I'm not sure. It seemed kind of personal. I mean, I probably could just send it around. I at least want Linda to see it. So I'll send it out anonymously.
Take
the name off.
I think it's good to have that kind of feedback that people are responsive to what we're sending you. If it is,
maybe that.
No, she was
just kind of making a statement.
Yeah, commenting.
It seems like it'd be nice for us to... I mean, that's great. You told us that, but you have others.
I quickly replied to her. I let David know, and you know, we hadn't talked about it since, so it's a good point. I'll send it out so people can see what it was in my response.
Right. I mean, maybe as part of the survey, there's a way of including the question that says something to the effect of have you received the EA newsletter, or have you, just to, I think there might be value in starting to get a sense like, oh, people are actually seeing this.
Yeah.
How to gauge that, I guess.
When I was at a meeting a couple weeks ago, talking with HR folks, and they were talking about that there are many areas around the university that don't actually have computer access, like facilities and those things. Has that something with this or been a conversation around that? I've kind of laid in the conversation, but I wondered if that's been talked about or...
It's been an ongoing thread. Okay. We wanted to figure out to quantify some data on that. We never have got around to it. But the thing is that they say that people in facilities may not check their email at work. They may check it from home.
Oh, okay.
So...
I was wondering if many people have opted out of receiving. If there's an option to opt out, and assume every newsletter has to have one.
Nobody said we had to have one, but we do. I would say 5 to 10, more than 10.
That's great. What I think would be nice maybe for future EAE news is if we can have some sort of, I mean, right now it's a lot of good information, but maybe if we could have just like a note from the chair kind of thing that says, hey, here's what the EA is up to. We met with Alan Fishbowl, we met with Mary Opperman or something like that, so there's like a little blurb. So there's, it's not just...
A headline almost.
Yeah, even if it's like, you know, 5 sentences or whatever, just something, so which, you know, talks about maybe the work that we're doing. Or,
you know. I'd love a summary of the last year, kind of, you know, when elections are over, it's about that time to see What did we do in the last year?
I think what we should also do is also archive them on the EA website.
Newsletters?
Yeah. It would be nice to just try to keep a more historical record of what the EA does for future EAs. And then, you know, it may be timely information. I mean, most of the things are timely little things, but it'll be there for reference for the future. So.
Well, I would have an observation for the communications. Now, having made such a great connection with Andy Noel, given all the sporting events that are around, might be a ripe opportunity to publicize and or raise awareness of EA activities actually through sporting events. You know, what he could make happen. You know, there's the sign in line of rink advertises things. I don't know if that costs money or not, whatnot, but he might be able to, as a public service, promote sort of EA visibility in various arenas, various contexts, and lots of staff.
We talked about the program before, didn't we? Sports programs trying to get an ad.
Could be ads, or whatever it is, but just, you know, I think he'd be open to help, however he might. And it's the place where a lot of staff goes to these various.
That's a great idea.
Events, basketball, everything's
hockey, football,
football, wrestling, even gets a lot of attention. Lacrosse.
I suspect that all the assemblies would be interested in that. If there's sort of a broad assembly kind of promotion.
Could be, yeah. No reason why I can't see.
So do you think I should just email and say, hey?
Yeah, you could say, public service. You know, is there someone we could work with? Gene Nyman is in charge of tickets and all, so he might sign that to Gene, but might just be warm to the idea.
Okay. I think it's a great idea.
Any other questions for David on communications? Staff recognition and awards.
David already talked about giving the award to Andy Noel too, but just another thought. You know, we do the one big award every year at the President's Address. Maybe we want to think about periodically throughout the year, trying to find more opportunities to recognize groups of staff, and just do something really simple. It doesn't have to be anything really big, but just some sort of recognition.
Could be included in the periodic newsletter.
Right. You know, but I think, you know, what we did for Andy's group was a really small gesture. You know, it was a piece of pretty certificate paper and a cheap frame.
It might show up in the bathroom, too.
And,
there was
right.
a photographer there.
Yeah, and I told Don I would write up a little blurb on it. So I think, you know, it might be nice to look for more opportunities to do that. You know, maybe think things like, you know, before graduation when the grounds folks are really working hard to make the campus look really pretty for graduation or reunion weekend. Something to acknowledge, or you know, the group that's really dealing with the notice and respond, or you know, there's a lot of groups that we can maybe just put a shout out, say, hey, we see the work that you're doing, it's hard, and we appreciate it.
What is the connection? Maybe I lost a bit between the recent articles I've seen from Gary mentioning the contributions of people, however it's mentioned, that are not usually. You know, visible.
That one on one.
What is it related to what we've been talking about in terms of the EA? Is there any connection there? Did one spawn the other? Because I was sort of surprised to see that, but it didn't have an EA connection.
Doing,
but we've been
doing,
talking about that.
Yeah, he's doing something with his job.
Right.
That.
was that in Parkland or the Chronicle? That Unsung Hero.
Staff notes, the videos.
So I don't know if that had any EA connection or.
I don't think so. That was something that he was
telling us. Because we were talking about that very sort of thing, finding unsung heroes, and then it popped up, and I was like, wow.
Yeah, I think that's a separate. I mean, maybe it came from that, but I know that's something that he's not doing for EA. But it's just, you know, I think. You know, just going into the George Peter Award, we have two nominations that we've had for a while. Nobody knew was being nominated.
I got a call this morning.
Oh, did you?
On his way.
Good. So we'll have three. But it would just be, you know, that takes a lot of work and effort, and you can only really nominate someone in your department, so it would be nice to be able to just put some other things out for people that we see here.
What could we do next? I mean, we got Gannett, President's Dress, we just did Athletics. I think facilities is a good idea around commencement on the grounds of trade.
I mean, we could look at doing Campus Life, because they did that huge push going out to all the dorms and knocking on doors and talking to students. I mean, Linda, you might be able to do that more, but I'm sure that was a huge time intensive
people
project.
Definitely
and
appreciate
they're still looking to do things like that. Do the census. They're checking. Mm-hmm. So they're continuing to be checking. So that may be a good group to recognize too. That was, you know, not something that they expected to have to do, but jumped in and did it. It'd be a good group and grounds. Like, I mean, there's a lot of people we can recognize.
Anything else? Any questions for Tanya for staff recognition and awards? Personnel policy?
We are scheduled to meet with, and we're going to be meeting with some people from career development, the organizational effectiveness team, to talk about a little bit of the direction that we're taking with the flex work policy, which is kind of an integration of career and flex, suggesting that as people's life circumstances change, that supervisors work and are open to ways that people might need to change their work arrangements to accommodate those. So there's a concept called mass career customization that really brings the two together that Deloitte and Touche has been advocating. And the organizational effectiveness group is really behind it from a career development standpoint. And we think it fits very nicely with kind of the direction we'd like to see the flex policy going. So we're going to meet next week.
Mm-hmm.
That we're
do you know when we're going to meet?
I can, if you're interested,
which
I can do it. Yeah, I had Michelle Arby, who's on the team. It's on the 29th.
Oh, we do.
Why don't you send a reminder to the whole EA?
That would be great. Yeah, I will. But I think it'll be an interesting look at how. And this, what's nice is that career development was one of the areas we were interested in looking at, so we're kind of combining the two to different directions.
I need to talk to you afterwards. On the career development piece.
Okay. Anything else?
On that, no.
Okay. Something else you're holding in?
Well, I wanted to talk about notice and respond last time, but because of what was going on with the child care center and
we can add you in old business.
If we have a few minutes,
yeah,
I'd like
we
to.
Will.
Yeah.
Internal operations, elections update.
Elections are going well, but get out there and vote, David.
David.
If you haven't already voted, David. we are, 200 votes shy of getting the...
500.
Okay.
Yeah. Vote twice.
1,300 employees vote, and we need 500 more.
To get the 20% for the UA
reference.
Right.
But it's 20% of employees only. 2,000.
5,300.
Can we send the email out again? 20% of each constituency.
I've gotten it.
We'll send another email out.
If you vote, those pesky emails go away.
Stop proceeding. You vote that
much. Yeah.
Okay.
We got an especially rude one from a student last night.
Really?
Well, yeah.
Stop making me be Democrat.
No, it wasn't even like, no. There was a very yes swear word in there.
So about
chili peppers next time.
So get out there and encourage your colleagues to vote. I guess we can get it up on our Facebook for all the members who are on our Facebook page.
Also, start your if your department or division has a mailing list.
Mm-hmm.
If you could ask, we asked our division, and apparently there's something out of email at some point today, so that would help a lot too.
Have you sent second emails already to the people that haven't voted? or are you on?
We're up to like the fourth email.
Actually. Oh, okay. Okay. I like that strategy, by the way. Working on this.
You pay.
Not, I got it. I like the
email.
Is there anything else in internal operations? Okay. University benefits, I believe, is still in almost permanent hiatus. Employee education?
Okay. Well, let's see. We met on last Thursday. And so there are a couple of things going on. There's the staff education event coming up in July, and it's an annual event that is for staff to show them all the various sort of educational and career development opportunities, both in within the university and outside of the university. It's a big fair. I do it every year, and I'm on that committee to help get that going. Putting that sort of in the midst now, and they're inviting quite a lot of vendors, both again inside and outside the university, including banks. So it's kind of interesting to talk about things like student loans, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, there's going to be quite a... So anyway, there'll be more publicity coming out soon, shortly, on that event. And naturally, EA is welcome to participate. And we're going to have a table there anyway, at the very least. So if I update you with more information and that becomes a little bit more articulated, and you're certainly welcome to join. I'm going to do... I signed up to do resume crisps for employees. So that will be my contribution, but also to talk about the education benefits. So I'll be sort of working on that. Anyway, so we did that. And the other thing is the EA committee thought that that event would be a good time to do a survey of employees' use of and perceptions of the education benefits. So we're in the process right now putting together, starting a survey. And I actually, my job this week was to send out an email to all of you to, you know, send me any questions you think that should be included on the survey. You could talk to your colleagues and ask them, or if you have any ideas on saying some areas that you think we should be asking on the survey, send those to me, because we're going to start designing a survey that we will give out at the seed event. And then I guess the other thing is we have to do the publicity for what we've done so far on the... We were supposed to put something in the proper, which I missed that deadline, I see, but I'll try to get it in the next one. But also, my job this week will be putting some information on Facebook about the committee and the various things that we're doing. We decided also to go to a monthly meeting instead of bi-monthly, because it was just being really too difficult to get people to come. So we're now meeting only on once a month. I think it's the first... Thursday of the month for now. So I think that's about it. Anybody have some thoughts or questions?
Do you have a date and a time yet?
For the seed?
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be at the Wild Building, whatever that is, Science Building. And I think it's July 24th or something. I'll send it out.
Yeah, just let us know.
I should get it on the calendar. Anyway.
Anything else for employee education or questions? Does anybody have any nuggets to contribute to Cornell and transition update? Broad topic. All right, let's move on to old business. First, I want to put Linda on the spot here. Do you have any update that you can provide in the capacity of your job about the CARE Fund now that it's been taken over to HR, and if you have anything.
Yeah, I had put together the team that we're starting to work on. I had put together a proposal and had given it to my boss. And she said she was going to talk with Mary about it yesterday. They've missed the last few meetings because we've been dealing with some other crises. But I have not heard back from her yet on what she's thinking. So, and I noticed Sharon said, I bet you're going to be asked about it, so I really need to
So I think this question has come up. The channels to get into, and if an employee needed assistance, are still there in
They're
public
still there.
So it's not like it's disappeared.
Absolutely.
If something came in.
Absolutely. Okay. We definitely still have, and the faculty and staff assistance program that was the original channel still reports into me. So we haven't. We had two that I reported that kind of came in right next to each other in the fall, neither of which fit the criteria of the program. So that those are the ones we've gotten. So. But I would expect that as we're coming around to not, and we've already gotten one question saying, are we going to do the hardship fund again? At this point, there's no plans that I'm aware of to do it. I suspect that we'll then have people who were maybe counting on that who will be looking for the CARE fund. So that's the other reason why I really want to make sure that we're getting out there on it. So, but I will keep you posted too on that and what happens.
Okay. And just to let everybody know, we're only taking advantage of Linda's job in that position to just get a more internal update. It's not, I mean, it's kind of, it's an informal update.
I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that.
And other old business, you want to talk about Novus and Respond?
Yeah, and I'd like to just start out by first, before saying Novus and Respond, to let you know that there's been a mental health strategies committee put together in the last, I think we've met now for 3 weeks. To take a look at kind of, if you want to call it the crisis at the universities, and we don't look at it as just a student situation now, we're looking at it across the board because we are definitely seeing spillover into the staff side where we've had a number of staff members in distress that we've been dealing with. Our HR crisis manager function, which typically gets maybe one call every 2 months, we had one day that we had four in a 24-hour period, just to give you perspective. So this group is really taking a look at what we can do together, both on the student side and on the faculty and staff side, to continue to support the whole community. So we talk about a lot of crossover things that we're doing. And you know, we are concerned about things like, and this is a first for us, when and if there's going to be staff changes in the area of their business plans, if it gets to their strategic planning, are there student impact that might happen that we wouldn't have thought of that we need to sweep into? So if the program's being eliminated because they've lost funding and we have staff impact on that, what student impact might there be that's kind of secondary that we can get in and make sure we're supporting students too, but not just affecting staff members. So that's an example. But one of the big things that we're looking at on the staff side is Notice and Respond and rolling that out. It had traditionally been a program, as Tim Marshall shared with us, that was focused on trying to understand those students in distress. And when the Workforce Diversity Inclusion group went through it, we said, well, this really could be anyone in the community, and distress behaviors are really cut across the board. So we did have a first pilot of some of the HR leads to go through it to take a look and see how applicable it was, and we tweaked it a little bit. And now we're looking at running the next group of HR leads through it and looking at how we can start rolling it out. I know that we had mentioned the possibility of if anyone was interested in co-facilitating it. I know two of you, Tanya and Sue, had mentioned an interest in it. They now are setting up a train-the-trainer in early June. And I told them the two of you were interested. They said that, and if any of the rest of you are interested, what the commitment will be is it will be 2 days from 9 to 3 getting trained in it, into the train-the-trainer, and then they ask that you run 2 to 3 sessions through the course of the year, and the sessions usually are about 1.5 hours long. So your commitment through the year really isn't high. Your train-the-trainer commitment is almost 2 full days. And they want you to see at least one session run in its entirety before you go to the train-the-trainer. So that's what I would need to work with the team to bring from that. But that won't be a problem. I spoke with Jeanette this morning about that. So I let them know, I would let the rest of you know, that if any of anyone is interested in being a trainer for the program, please let me know and I'll get you onto the train-the-trainer. I'm going through it as well.
I know two other people outside of this group who are interested.
Okay.
Because I've been talking about what's going on and what you said, and two other people who have some backgrounds would be interested in participating as well.
Okay.
you're looking for more people.
Yeah, they are, because we are trying to get out across campus and do as many of the sessions.
Yeah, I have a lecturer in my apartment who's interested, and then another staff person.
Okay, great. So if you can let them know, that would be wonderful. Ask them if it's okay, and then let me know, and then I'll coordinate with Catherine.
And she's probably trying to get someone from Geneva to do it
also. Oh, it would be great. Because what they ideally would love to do is have people that, so faith or arts and sciences, maybe you'll have a couple people that will be trained, and then that group could really do a lot of the arts and sciences group. So if there could be somebody from Geneva, that would be really great, too.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have a lot of time, because we would have to get the people in a session before the beginning of June when the trainer sessions are.
Okay.
But as soon as you can get me the names, that would be great. And I think it will be a big contribution to the community to do that.
Okay.
We're also looking at what kinds of proactive programming that we can put out there to try to support people. We've been getting a lot of requests from departments to come in and do managing stress, anxiety, and depression kinds of programming. So we're doing some of that development and running those in a couple of areas that have requested it. We ran 200 workers through a managing personal stress program. Did your group go to that? It was two or three weeks ago. It was requested in managing your own personal stress.
It sounds like your mental health working group is mostly HR professionals.
Actually, I'm really the only representative that's an HR person on the mental health strategies committee, but most of them are mental health professionals.
Okay.
I'm really not a clinician, actually, who's on it.
I ask because the GPSA has put a lot of time and energy into a mental health ad hoc committee.
Okay.
And I know that Brian Forrester, in particular, would probably be very interested in being part of that conversation and contribute from the grad student perspective as well. Grad student mental health has been a high priority for the GPSA for a long time, and so I suspect they would have some contributions.
Okay, so Brian
Forrester.
Okay, so I'm a member. I'm not the one who's spearheading it. So what I'd like to do is we're meeting every Friday afternoon, usually 4 to 5:30. Because that's when we all happen to have free on our calendars. No one else has a meeting on Friday afternoon. So what I'll do is this Friday's meeting, I'll bring it up and say that there is a very high concern it might be beneficial.
Seems like a good networking opportunity at any rate.
Yep, I think so too. Okay, that's great. So I'll make sure I bring that up to the meeting. So one of the biggest topics have been bridges and what we're going to do with the bridges going forward. So that's still kind of being determined because the theories on top of the bridges are a short-term solution to try to curtail impulsivity. But in the long haul, we don't necessarily see that as a long-term solution, and the campus is just trying to figure out what the best long-term solution is. So that's been a topic that we talk about in the as well as just other types of programs and ways that we're going to be supporting things like extending hours at CAP, especially during finals weeks and things like that we can really do to continue supporting the community.
I mean, I think this is something that's been ongoing, and I think it's part of this, the notice and respond thing, but again, I still am concerned about that the individual units themselves have individual players that really are sort of creating an atmosphere of stress and fear. And I just wish that there was another mechanism where, staff could at least report those behaviors anonymously, because I think that's part of the stress is not having any place to go when there's really, a very clear set of behaviors that you can't deny are really creating a stressful environment for everybody else. And sometimes these people are people who are in a position of authority, and yet, and that do things that are really, quite awful. But I'm just saying that there's no mechanism. I mean, I get the stress reduction piece, and I think that makes great sense, and I think that the notice respond has sort of a dual benefit because it makes you an agent and being more helpful for others, but also maybe recognizing the need for yourself. I get that part.
Right.
But there's still the third piece, which is you really do have some pretty toxic players here at Cornell in any institution, and people feel powerless to be able to do anything with them. And I think we have to figure out something, what to do with it. I don't know what to do with it, but I'm just suggesting.
There is the COPE line. The COPE line for any workplace-related issues, if they dial 255 COPE, then they can get in touch with one of our clinicians that are actually right here on campus.
Uh-huh.
Like actually right here in Bay Hall right now to work through some of those issues, and that person can give them guidance and action steps on things that they can do.
What type of, without identifying anything, what type of behaviors really are you talking about?
I mean, it sort of runs the gamut. It could be anything from, you know, insulting emails could be one example. From a higher-up, a supervisor, or a person who's high up in the, I'm talking about individual units, who might be high up in the chain of command, who might be sending flaming emails, which has happened. Or rule changing and not, you know, like having to, you know, reduce budgets, for example, and then having to work with staff in order to reduce staff, but not using really the proper and humane, you know, ways of going about doing that. Instead using, you know, all kinds of other sorts of techniques and methods, communication methods and behavioral methods. It really makes it difficult for staff really to, you know, to deal with those changes. So I'm just saying that it could be any number. I can't identify all of them, but there are people on the campus, no one here that I can see, but there are people on campus who have, you know, poor communication skills, have, you know, possibility of personality disorders, who knows, who are not really making it a very stress-free, conducive environment. And I think staff encounter them. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes they're right, sometimes they're not. But nonetheless, I'm not sure that staff know that there's a possibility of an outlet where they can actually talk about that, because that's the stressor. It's not, you know, anything else but that.
Well,
and
so talking
that's
about
the part I'm really concerned about.
I mean, it's resources to help someone talk it through. But if you're talking about changing or addressing the behaviors, would people not go to their local HR person first?
No,
or is that
they
part
won't.
Is that part of why wouldn't that be?
Well, because the local HR may not trust them. If it's an HR that's within their own, especially if it's an HR person that's within their own college, there's no relationship, at least not in my college, maybe it's different in other ones, there's no relationship with our HR person and the rest of us. Or, you know, if there's a problem, I don't even know which Goodrow, I think.
Mary Goodrow?
I think Mary Goodrow is our HR person, our sort of overarching HR person. So and people, and she has a, I hate to say it, it's not her fault, but there is a reputation, and I'm sure it's true for most HR people. People have said they've gone to people like her and not gotten very satisfying results. So, I think in that sense, there's no, what appears to be, from my point of view, from my observation, a real clear place where staff can go and can make a complaint if they need to, that's anonymous, but also have some, you know, bite. I mean, it's all well and good to talk about stuff, but in the end, you want something to change. I don't know if that can happen. I mean, I think that's probably a dream. You know, I'm in La La Land on that one. But yes, HR, I don't think that the HR representatives of the various individual unions are necessarily considered trustworthy.
I'd agree with you on that. I think Tanya and I are speaking from whatever our own experiences, but
right.
I think there is a quality where the HR people are, and maybe this is generalizing, but they're there more in the service of the university than they are in service of whatever goes on in that department or staff specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And that, and again, not that I want to point fingers,
right.
But I feel within our own environment, there very much is a hesitance.
Actually, could
if
we
I had
that
personal,
door, by the way? Sorry.
On that note,
yeah.
There's definitely a hesitance to bring forth anything that might be
right, or sensitive, you know, for whatever reason. I mean,
but
a person could be under stress and make it more sensitive than it needs to be, but nonetheless, there is things that other than there, and how that gets mad and so on, I think, should be dealt with, especially when you're now looking at budget cuts and real staff cuts and staff, you know,
staffing bridge, open their mouths
and say something or feel like they're being cut because of their relationship with someone who's been kind of conflictual.
tricky. Like if there was a number and somebody could call, and the next question is, we have to go investigate the situation.
I mean, this really is an ethics issue, but there is the confidential phone line that isn't even operated by Cornell. It's an outsourced.
It's an outsourced, and then it gets reported into Cornell and through the audit office, and then they disperse it as appropriate. But, you know, the anonymous, it's a good point. It's not going to really lead to something other than maybe an awareness that typically you'll want to talk to someone and be able to follow up upon. So if there's a notion that I'm hearing, I mean, that may be something that Mary would be interested in.
That's what I was saying.
Interested. Yeah,
this is
something
that...
She's
I don't feel like I'm making this up.
No.
I asked you the question to bring that out. I will say you're not the first person anymore, to have expressed what you just did. Nonetheless, it is the operation that the university has is the first line of addressing these concerns is the, you know, the local HR or the administrative, the central HR, like, you know, Mary Goodrow person or whatever. But if those resources are not viewed as, you know, as satisfactory for whatever reason, then, you know, then that's a problem because those are the people who are engaged, whose job it is to work with the managers to help them manage.
And I mean, it could very well not be the fault of HR per se. It's not about that. It's about the way it's really, I think, an institutional structural question about loyalties and you know, where your interests are exactly as you're raising. You know, their interest is at sort of at the university level, even though they're supposed to be having an interest at the local level, and that might be a conflict right there. So it might be worth talking eventually, if this ever becomes more of an issue, to talk to HR people about what it's like for them in handling these kinds of issues and what kinds of constraints they have in trying to help staff deal with it. You see what I mean? Because I think there's a perspective from that point of view that might need some understanding.
Yeah, well, I recommend bringing that up with Mary at the earliest opportunity.
I think so too. You know, and having been an HR generalist and having struggled with having to build trust with the population before they felt comfortable coming to talk to me.
Yeah.
You know, and one of the things I think early on is, you know, in a meeting, if someone said, I don't want to share this with anyone, I say, well, as long as it's not anything like unethical or something like that, then I can hold. But what I will tell you is if I can't share it with anyone, I may not be able to help you a lot.
That's right.
And I will talk about what things maybe I can do or that you're comfortable with me doing versus not, you know, and I think maybe there's a little bit of that could be helpful for other generalists because right away the first thing was we can't trust you.
Right.
Because we don't know if your alliances are with management and you're going to go tell my manager
that's right.
to complain to you. And I've dealt with that, you know, my whole career when I was in generalist function. So I think it's a very real concern that people have because people don't know where your alliances are and sometimes they just don't want to take that risk.
Right.
So
it really is about consequences and repercussions. I think that's the main piece. Well, I think there's three things. Consequences, repercussions, but also a wish for change. And you know, and I think a lot of staff really believe that, I mean, and it might be a piece of mythology, but that people who are in a position of authority get there for a reason, and they're not about to relinquish that authority, even if there's a case that says that they shouldn't be in that level of authority. So there's also that problem. And then, of course, we know that human nature is very slippery, and what's the perception of one may not be a perception of another. So it's not a simple thing. I'm not bringing up, I'm not saying we need to come up with a snap, easy way to solve this, but I do think that there's a need anyway.
And I think a thing that we're going to see a lot more of is as the workforce diminishes and more work is put upon each person, there's this real struggle of the staff person who wants to say, I can't take on another thing. But yet you don't feel like you can say that to the person who's going to be looking at that list and saying, who stays and who goes.
That's right.
And, I mean, I can speak from my personal experience of saying to my supervisor of, I don't know if I can handle all this, and the response that I got back was, you're an exempt staff. You have to figure it out.
Yep. That's exactly
and, you know, that's, you know, and yes, I'm exempt staff, but I was hired to do a job, and now I'm doing two jobs. So there's got to be some workaround in that, and I just think it's going to be a tougher situation for a lot of people who can't afford to lose their jobs.
we're all really scared, mm-hmm. frankly.
And stressed.
Very yeah. stressed.
Anything else, Linda?
That's the main thing. If you have any questions for me, I'm happy to answer on, but that's the main thing.
Okay. Moving on to new business, I just want to mention a few things on our calendar. Presidents Gorton and Mary are joining us on May 19th. Please send in your questions or concerns in advance to David and I and Amy. So, Celie, I don't know if maybe you can find a way to phrase what you're generally in a small, bite-sized, deliverable package.
Me?
To the president.
Small bite-sized?
You're going to have, you have.
What's that sound bite?
Deliverable?
You'll have some time to work on it.
How can I even find a place for that?
And Mary's meeting again.
I would rather invite her to a meeting with Mary in her office. So.
Well, the president and Mary are getting these questions in advance. So if you want to have them to like speak on something of the status of mental health in general for employees. Just, it's got to be, you know, short and pithy.
So you're suggesting that what we just discussed earlier about the need for some vehicles for staff to deal with more direct issues with other staff members in a confidential way is not appropriate for this forum. That's what you.
Well, because I was thinking we were going to put them on the spot, but if they haven't had a
time, no, yeah.
I think that would be fine.
Do you think it'd be better for when Alan and Mary are here? Or
Fifth,
did you say, or no?
No.
No.
So basically, the question to the president, it's open game. This is any of our questions or concerns for the president and Mary at this meeting. We want to get your questions in advance so that they can be submitted to the president so that he has information to share with you prepared. So that meeting is May 19th. Please get your questions in as soon as possible.
So I'll email you one, but the one that I would have is now as the staff is getting smaller, what are they pushing down to departments, units, and how to alleviate some of the workload on the staff?
Right.
So that would be my
question
with the director.
Okay.
I mean, I want to make it clear that the question, if I were to submit it, it's not as a critique. I mean, I would hope that the questions that get submitted really are for information. And I just want to make sure that, I mean, what I express here is not necessarily, my goal is not to put them on the spot or criticize what they're doing. I think that that's huge. It's really out of complete information and respect, but also advocating is, you know, being clear, my role here is to advocate for employees. That's all.
So wouldn't the question really be, do you foresee instituting some sort of mechanism by which staff could have an anonymous way to share stressors in the workplace?
Something like
that. So we our May 5th meeting, we don't have anybody scheduled. This is the next meeting, so we will take some time for the budget review, and that'll be the last call for questions probably for the president, so please think some up and so that we can get them sent in. May 19th is the meeting with the president and Mary. That is the last meeting of the term. And June 2nd, the first meeting of the term of the new EA, is going to be with Alan Bishop and Mary Opperman to discuss layoff process, procedures, benefits, and all that. It'll also be the meeting where new officers will be elected. So there'll be a little bit of juggling to have that meeting, have a guest speaker and officer elections, but hopefully the new A will be able to handle it. Does anybody else have any new business they need to discuss? We're going to try to wrap up a little bit early because Amy has to leave for an office event. Is there any items or open forum or any other miscellaneous announcements?
I'm not just wanting to introduce myself.
Yeah.
I'm here to do a little one with the Cornell Chronicle, and I will be coming to the meetings and the other assembly meetings as my schedule allows, trying to keep up also on some of the things that are going on with staff, and then if there's other items that maybe we think we should pursue in a Chronicle article, then I'll complete with you, and we'll figure that out. You might even think about cutting some of these very pertinent things. But by and large, you know, what you say here will stay here, except for, you know, if it's a topic that needs to be further pursued, then the numbers will be.
Thank you. Well, it goes as confidential as our audio recording that gets posted to the web.
Oh, I went for it. Sorry. Anybody wants to listen?
Anything else? Entertain a motion to adjourn early? Anyone? Moved and seconded? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you.
I'm opposed.
1:17 p.m. Thank you very much.
I'm opposed to ending that.
You have time to get to where you're going to go? Okay.
Office professional.
So have you been on the phone with someone the whole time?
What?
You know, I was kind of wondering about that when they probably hung up and nobody hung up on this side. Hopefully it wasn't long distance.
Well, if they hung up, I think that...
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.